Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
How fun this 23rd day of June. We get to have Kingdom Pursuits today, and we have some people that God has taken their passion and using it to build the kingdom. First off, we have Michaela Smith and Pam Mitchell. They are with, or fixing to be with, Mercy and Grace Missions to Central America. They're going to Honduras, right, Michaela?
Yeah.
And so is this your second trip, I understand?
Yeah, this is my second time going.
So for those of us who have no clue where Honduras is, can you tell I'm in that group? Where is it? Where's Honduras?
Honduras is in Central America. I believe it's right above Costa Rica, I believe.
That's not helpful.
Oh, well.
All right, let's start with Central America. Is that below Mexico? Where is that?
Yeah, below Mexico, above South America, if that helps. Right in the middle of the Americas.
So it's like the central part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Costa Rica is part of that? And no? Pam's got her geography down.
Yeah, Pam.
Pam, go ahead.
Well, I don't know that I have it all down, but it is between El Salvador and Nicaragua.
There you go.
In Central America.
And there's a lot of countries in Central America.
There are. There are a lot of small countries. Belize is also right nearby there.
And so in my mind, I always thought there was North America and South America. But Bob, there's clearly Central America.
There sure is.
And apparently there's a lot of people there.
There are.
And have you been there too, Pam?
Yes. This will be my 15th trip.
Really?
To Honduras.
So can you kind of give us a feel for Honduras versus, say, Mexico?
Sure. Honduras is one of the poorest countries in Latin America. I think about one out of every five Hondurans live on less than $2 a day, you know, in our, like, $1.90.
So a lot of Mexico.
Yes, a lot of extreme poverty.
Wow. Wow. And so as you go down there the first time, what was the thing that you was like?
My first time was in 2004, and it was absolutely overwhelming. My heart was captured right off the bat. The people are beautiful. They're wonderful. They're hospitable. They're full of joy and happiness, even, you know, with very little material possessions. There's a lot of joy, especially for those who are in Christ, obviously. But it was overwhelming. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the... just, you know, seeing the poverty.
Right.
Is very.
So God's given you this passion, and now he's given Michaela similarly. How old are you, Michaela?
I'm 19.
Wow, same age as my daughter. And she went to Nigeria, which she gave me a lesson on how to find that in Africa. I should have paid attention in school, Bob, is all I
That's
can
right.
say. But anyway, for you, what your first time, how old were you when you went?
I was 17 my first time. It was back in 2016, my senior year of high school.
And so what did God put on your heart when you saw that?
Like Pam said, it was very overwhelming from the moment we got off the plane in Honduras. It was just like everything's new, everything's different, the people are different, but it was a very good change. Once we got to the little city that we were working in, just the children really touched my heart, I think more than anything. I just loved playing with them, hearing about them talking to each other, running around, showing them all the crafts that we do, all the games that we play, all the songs that we sing. They really touched my heart.
All right. So we're going to hear a lot from them today during Kingdom Pursuits, but also our good friend Bob Uber, who is with Heal Our Heroes. And now you've got some new stuff going, Bob, specifically the Salute to Our Heroes. It's a benefit event coming up Monday, July the 2nd.
July the 2nd. That is correct. And greeting out there to all of you who are veterans and who have supported the military. Thank you for listening in. We are opening this Hero Center at the old John Wesley Campground. We've been working on it for some time, getting it renovated. And so in order to call attention to the community of the kind of things that we want to do for student veterans who are transitioning from combat through the classroom, primarily GTCC, and back into the community, we're delighted to be hosting the Miss North Carolina Show Troupe, who will be coming through on the 2nd of July.
So that's like a USO show that's coming to High Point.
It is really a phenomenal opportunity for us. The pageant is actually tonight on ABC. So vote for Miss High Point or Miss Winston. But at the end of that, they form an 8-person show troupe. And so there will be the first stop. We'll be here in High Point 2 July. The show begins at 6:30. You may go online to heroescenter.org to get a ticket, or you may purchase a ticket for a $10 donation to see this whole show and take a look at the camp and the things that we're doing to help our student veterans.
Yeah, we're going to be all into that in a minute here, Bob. But we can also tell you, if you go to Kingdom Pursuits, you're going to find out more about the Hero Center. There's a link to how you get to that website to get the tickets, which are $10. And, of course, Grace and Mercy Missions and the whole Honduras story and kind of what led to this ministry that they're doing. But as you might imagine, if you're listening to Kingdom Pursuits, that there's got to be a riddle. So speaking of benefits, you're going to like this, Bob. Michaela, get ready.
Okay.
You've never been on Kingdom Pursuits before, so this part's a little different. We have some riddles that we want to riddle you with. There's a new song out to benefit underprivileged dervishes. Have you ever heard of underprivileged dervishes?
No.
It's called We Are the World, spelled W-H-I-R-L-E-D. We Are the World. It's coming to Bev laughed. I like that. Jasper, we got a big smile out of him. Okay. And for barbers having their haircut, see, we're talking about benefits here. Having their haircut free, it's their only fringe benefit, you know. And that's my personal favorite this week, is the benefit of God making only one Yogi Bear. Have you ever thought about that? The benefit of God only making one Yogi Bear is when he tried to make the second one. Have you heard this? He made a boo-boo.
Boo-boo Bear.
Oh, we actually got a laugh out of that one. Okay. And the benefit for purchasing fruit trees from AAA Nursery is they give you some insects to help with pollination. Yep. Freebies.
Freebies. They just
we're
keep
having
getting
fun.
Better and better.
Oh, yeah. And the benefit for King Arthur of making knights, think about that, was circumference built the round table and ceramic tile did the flooring. You've heard of ceramic. So with all that shenanigans, you know I'd actually have a riddle, and you could win today if you call in at 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, and tell us, please, which Old Testament saints, there's actually more than one, had the benefit of a dream job? Which which Old Testament saints had the benefit of a dream job? 866-348-7884 is the number to call in to win. And if they do, Jasper, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
All you have to do, this is pretty simple, I would think, is call in and tell us which Old Testament saint had the benefit of a dream job. 866-348-7884. We would love to hear from you. Of course, if you have a question about Honduras, or you got a question about the new Hero Center in High Point, how exciting is that? And it's always cool to have my friend Bob, as God gives you so many visions. And I got to come out last year to the Hero Center and see you guys had an event out there, some of the work that you're doing.
Yes.
And it's really, really cool to see God take a facility like that and use it for something like taking care of the people that took care of us.
Well, there is. There's particularly two dormitories out there, although the military likes to call them barracks. And those are what we want to renovate first, because it's hard to imagine, but there are actually student veterans that are living in their cars, and we just got to stop that. And so as we all come together as a community, we're going to renovate those dorms, take 20 veterans.
Yeah, that's why we're doing this concert. We're doing this benefit. We're going to hear all about it. Stay tuned with so much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we're so blessed to have with us Michaela Smith and Pam Mitchell with Mercy and Grace Missions. They are headed to Central America, Honduras. We got a geography lesson a little bit earlier, and of course, we have our good friend Bob Uber with their Salute Our Heroes benefit coming Monday, July 2nd. If you haven't heard about this, it's kind of like a USO troop that's going to be there. It's going to be fabulous. Miss North Carolina will be there, as well as several New York performers. Is this sort of a USO show? You always wondered what that was like because you didn't get to go over and be in World War II. Did you, Bob?
I got them in Vietnam.
Did you get Bob Hope?
Well, I saw Ann Margaret and Raquel Welch.
Well, there you go. That's pretty awesome. So that's going to happen. Tickets are just $10, but you can hear of what that's going to. And when you see the renovation that's going out there at the Heroes, what do you call it?
Heroes Center
in High Point. But right now, I'm very excited because Linda is in Jamestown, North Carolina. She has an answer to, and I just cut Linda off. Linda, please call back. I hit the wrong button. 866. Oh, I was anxious. You were anxious to know who the Old Testament saint was that had a... Oh, 866-348.
Linda, call back.
7884 866-343. Oh, Linda and several others. So, but meanwhile, getting back to Michaela, I'm very curious.
Mm-hmm.
So, you get off the plane, you know, you've been praying that God would show up for you in this mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
Raising support.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, and all that stuff. You're just... have expectations and all these kind of things. But anyway, mm-hmm. at some point in time, you meet a particular child.
Yes.
And you see God do something that only God could do. And mm-hmm. you go, oh, this is why you have me here, God, to see this. Can you tell us about that child?
There's so many children there. We just come across so many different faces. But there is, you know, always that one or two that just sticks to you. One of mine was actually the preacher's, the church we go to, the preacher is his little brother. His name's Carlos Alfredo.
Sounds sort of Spanish and Italian all in the same package.
He was 12 years old 2 years ago, so I guess now he's going to be 14 when we go. But I played soccer with him, did crafts with him, everything, hung around him. We took lots of pictures together, tried to talk as much as we can. I try to pick up a lot of Spanish while I'm there so I can talk to him and, like, you know, what's your favorite color, you know. I can say my numbers in Spanish, and they'll be like, oh, I can say my numbers in English. And it's just fun to talk to him. And that one really stuck with me. He gave me a little card the last day that we left that said, I hope you had a safe trip. And then he wrote his name and the date on the back. And that was very cute. I still have it with me and carry it every day.
And so you're looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cannot wait to see him.
That connection.
Yes.
And, you know, that's pretty cool that you share this connection mm-hmm. that you sensed was clearly a God connection. And so it's pretty cool. You have something to look forward to. Oh, I have something to look forward to. Linda has called back. And Linda, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Thank you for your patience with my fat fingers.
It's okay. I have fat fingers too, so it's okay.
So.
Hi, Michaela. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Oh, you guys know each other.
Yes, Linda's going on the trip with us.
Well, Linda, do you happen to know which Old Testament saint had the benefit of a dream job?
Well, I don't know. I appreciate puns, but I'm not very punny myself. But I was thinking of Jacob with the angels ascending and descending from heaven.
Oh, wow. As usual, my listeners have something I hadn't even thought of. I thought of a couple others, but that one. Yeah, that was the ladder.
Yes.
Jacob's ladder.
Yeah.
Which is such an amazing thing.
It is. I can't even imagine how incredible that would have been to see.
And I'm told, and maybe Bob wants to jump in on this, that the ladder itself is Christ. That what
interesting.
That those angels were ascending and descending on Christ, right? Because He is the way to the Father.
The truth and the life.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I hadn't thought about that before.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture. And that's why I'm just loving your answer that I had not thought of, but that was a dream job. Because he got to see, when you think about it, and a lot of people don't realize that being a father is a gigantic job. And if you were Jacob and you had Judah and the boys. Bob, you know what I'm saying?
Leah and Rachel and the clan.
Yeah, I mean, Reuben and all those guys, man, they threw their brother in the pit. I mean, this was a tough job that Jacob had.
Yes, he did.
And so it was a dream job because it was through his family, right, that the Messiah would come to make a way that you and I, Linda, get to be right in heaven together.
Yes, and praise him for that.
So, once again, you've trumped my answers.
No, I don't know that I meant to do that, but that's who I immediately thought of.
Well, so, you're going to Honduras, too, so you probably know where Honduras is.
I do.
See, you already, the things you know that I don't know. But so tell me what you're looking, have you been to before?
I have. This will be, I believe, my 7th time.
Oh, wow. Well, you and Pam must know each other well. So can you, since we have you, and I would love to know your God story where like, oh, man, God, I can't believe you did that.
Well, going to Honduras, one of the biggest impacts I believe it had on me was that God just ruined me through it as far as being Americanized. After I've been there and I've seen the lives that other people have to live. They don't have a choice. It is their circumstance. When I come home, I am immediately humbled by everything we have here. We are just so rich in comparison. And as Pam was saying about the, you know, the $2 a day, just imagine us trying to live on, I spend $2 on a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So that for me, I love the children. I love doing the ladies' Bible study. I'm the craft lady, so I get the joy of doing the colors and the textures and all that good stuff with the kids. But overall, I would say God has humbled me how rich I am compared to other people in the world and keeping me in my place with that. You know, that this is the material part of the world, and he says, you know, that what we do is either going to be rewarded or burned away. We have to consider what tools he gives us to use while we're here.
Well, it's interesting you should say that because I took my daughter on her, who also wants to be a missionary. She wants to go to Africa, but she is going to Samford College in Birmingham, Alabama. We went to her orientation this week, and the pastor gave a sermon. This is a Christian college, and so it's kind of cool. And he was talking to all the parents about what you needed. You know, this was what the sermon was about. But he said, Christians for years have undergone this prayer practice of turning your hands upside down and letting go of what it is that you're trying to control that God doesn't want you to control. And letting go, surrender is your word. Surrender all those things in your life that they may be materialistic things. They may be all sorts of interesting things. And so he started off the sermon with that, and you can imagine all these parents here were trying to obviously control where their kids were going, what their lives were going to be, and all that stuff when, you know, clearly that's God's job. And but after you are done with that, he said, now turn your hands back up and pray and ask God to put in your hands what it is you're supposed to take hold of. And when you said that, it reminded me, and it was just awesome. Well, thank you, Linda. I'm so glad you called in. You called back. God bless you.
Thank you. You too. God bless you.
All right. Well, we have Denise is in Virginia, and Denise may have another answer. Denise, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Hi. Yeah, my answer to what saint in the Old Testament had a dream job, I think it's Joseph when he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and then Pharaoh promoted him and gave him a job.
Yeah, he was one of Jacob's boys.
Yes, he was.
And he did have the job of interpreting dreams and clearly got to have that moment with his brothers. I imagine it was a dream at one point that was bitter, but then it became very sweet as he had a chance to restore his family as only he could do. That's That's an amazing story. Well, you're exactly right, Denise, as well.
I'm good.
I love your answer. And guess what? There's still one other guy that I can think of along those lines in the Old Testament. But we will wait on another caller to do that. God bless you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Bob, speaking of dream jobs, you know, you kind of have a dream job, don't you?
Well, as a combat officer myself, I recognize all the things that these military go through. They come back, we give their youth, you know, and they don't ask anything in return. And they think when they come back that was part of their life and it's over. But so often the effects of the war don't show up for years later. It's called combat trauma. And a big part of what we do with the veterans is this whole idea of healing, dealing with that combat trauma. And we're a faith-born organization. So we know that we're mind, body, and spirit, and that in the spirit of a veteran is where faith and hope reside. And so our organization is quick to point that out. We're not a church, we're not a religion, but we recognize through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we can renew our minds, that we can restore our minds, that we can have the mind of Christ. And so that kind of healing, along with different types of recreational and outdoor therapy, do help these veterans kind of work through the closet of those nightmares and those experiences that really kind of impact their ability to relate to others, anger issues,
right.
Disconnect
so
issues.
So we got to go to a break, but you got time to call in at 866-348-7884 if you know that other saint. But we got so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Stay tuned. Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And every week, usually, I get an email from somebody, Robbie, you got to have this person on Kingdom Pursuits. Keep that up. I love that. Because I'd love to see how God takes what I would call ordinary people, you know, people that are sitting in the pew or wherever they are, and God says, I want you to write a book, or I want you to go on a mission, or I want you to teach Sunday school, or I want you to help veterans, or I want you to, you know, go help the homeless count, whatever that is. You know, the idea was originally that this show would encourage the body of Christ, that when you step out on faith to do what God you feel is calling you to do, you will go on an adventure that will literally blow your mind. He will take you places you had, like Bob was saying a few minutes ago, 18 inches out of your comfort zone, sometimes a mile and a half out of your comfort zone, or 5,000 miles out of your comfort zone, whatever the situation may be. But that's the beauty of what this show is and what God does, and we get a chance to hear from every week. Of course, you also get to hear these riddles, and we still have one possible answer. So if you want to call in at 866-348-7884, we'd love for you to do that. But Pam, when you guys go to Honduras, I understand that hydration is an issue.
It is. Actually, back in 2006, 2007, we were doing a medical clinic. And that's when we realized that one of the biggest health problems is the water. Most of the water in Honduras is unsafe to drink. Actually, all the water in Honduras is unsafe to drink unless it comes from a very pure stream. And we actually were finally connected by God to an organization in Louisville, Kentucky called WaterStep. And I love that you said about ordinary people, because their slogan is training ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So over a couple of years of researching what we could do about the water situation in Honduras, what we could do as a church, we found WaterStep, and my husband and I were trained there back in 2009. So in 2010 was our first installation of a water system in Honduras. And so that's been part of each trip since then, is to yearly put in a new water system.
And so to give people some background that I'm learning as we go here, you belong to Glen View.
Correct, yes. I'm actually the children's minister and missions coordinator at Glen View Baptist. And Glen View has been involved in mission trips to Honduras since 2004.
So And that's in Kernersville, North Carolina. Actually, if you're familiar with Glenn High School, they have a view of it. That's how I remember the name.
Exactly.
Glenn
We're right
View
down
Baptist
the road.
Baptist Church, but nonetheless, Bob loves
Is
stuff
that
like
another
this,
riddle here coming?
But anyway.
The room with a view.
Yeah. So tell us what you actually saw when you say water. I mean, were people getting cholera? What was going on?
The main thing that we saw, we had a nurse practitioner with us that year that was from our church, and we finally pulled her away to make her eat a sandwich and drink something because the line of patients to be seen was very, very long. But let me just input there that they wait outside in the heat without a single complaint for hours to see a doctor or a nurse and just to have, you know, kind of that healing touch. Well, our nurse was in tears, and that's not uncommon for any of us in Honduras. We're usually, you know, quite often overwhelmed with emotion at what we see God doing. But Christy said, "We are just putting a Band-Aid on this problem. I am pulling parasites out of their ears and their noses." And you know, we just got to talking about that with Ricardo from Mercy and Grace and realized it's the water. The water is causing them to have parasites, you know, through the water they drink because there's fecal bacteria in a large portion of their water because their water is coming maybe from a river 12 miles away. And between that river source and their village, there are cattle. There are latrines in some of the villages we go to. There are not even latrines. There's laundry being washed in it. You know, there's just all type of things that we would never even imagine here in the United States.
And so is there education involved in, wow, now you have clean water. Why is this important?
That is a huge, huge component of our trips is educating the people. Once we help them install this system and we train them to maintain it and to use it, which is very, very easy to train and keep up the maintenance. But we also do health and hygiene training. And we do that same training on a different level with the children and teach them about proper hand washing and wearing shoes because parasites also come up through our feet when we're stepping in donkey dung and things like that. Training is critical because a lot of times if there's any issue with a water system, let's say that the salt that we use to operate the system, if that salt is moist, it's not going to operate properly. And it would be easy to imagine that someplace where this is a new thing, they might just give up. And so it's crucial for us to provide training on how to work with those things and how to persevere and keep going. And
so, yes. Michaela, did you actually drink water out of this system?
Yes. yes, I did.
Because I'm thinking, oh, wow, after I watched two or three parasites get pulled out of somebody's ear, I'm not just jumping in for the water.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things. One of the most touching moments on my first trip was the very last night we were there, and they had just finished putting in the whole water system. And so we showed the whole community there that our team is going to drink it. We trust this water. We're going to drink it ourselves, so it's safe for you to drink it. And that was really one of the most amazing parts. Never gets old. Yeah, just drinking that water and drinking it with them and showing them that this is safe to drink. This is here for you, you know.
So, Bob, obviously, our combat veterans are seeing this kind of stuff in third world countries, and they have no way to enter into that, and that leads to trauma.
Well, let me take a little different response to that. It is, in fact, almost in every case, when people go on deployment, we never know if we're winning the war or not. So if you don't have a humanitarian opportunity, which most of them do, to reach into the community and do the exact things that they're trying to do in Honduras, whether it's a water system, whether it's helping to grow different vegetables or crops, or set up different parts of their villages, when they come back, that becomes, and it was for me as well, I was embedded as a special forces officer in a battalion. We lived in the villages.
And
it was
where?
In Vietnam. So it was the children and helping them have supplies and them have clean drinking water and them to be able to grow vegetables so that they could have the nutrition and support. You come back with a sense of meaning, because you feel like you touched a person's life. And so that's what made that very, very meaningful for us as well. Because healing comes in very, very different forms. So healing of the mind, healing of the body, healing of the spirit. And so it does start with the physical needs that, that people have. And that's what we speak to the veterans that come in. They have very noticeable felt needs. And we start with that. As well as trying to introduce them to the ultimate healer, which is God Himself.
Which brings up an interesting point. You know, years ago, I had a chance to interview a pastor from North Vietnam who had actually been in prison in North Vietnam for, I think it was 7 years, and they had put him in a swamp, essentially, where that was where he lived. You know, like you can't sit down. You're in a swamp, and you're there, and people are dying all around you. But the reason he was a Christian and the reason he was put in the swamp was because of soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That had come into the country. And Vietnam's a different place as a result. And I had never even put that together in my mind that the other purposes God may have had for Vietnam's war was not just the fact that, you know, they were being, you know, communized or whatever you want to say, but actually you guys made a difference in people's lives on how they farmed, how they've, you know, got water, all that stuff.
Well, let me also say that my mother sent me 5,000 copies of the Gospel of John. And because I became the Pied Piper for children with candy and coloring books, God gave me an army of 20 children to individually pass out 5,000 copies. So we know that there's a witness there. We know God's word does not return void. And I'd love to go back to Vietnam in that southern delta region just to see the fruit that the word of God would produce through these children who are now grown adults themselves, that there would be churches there, there would be believers there. And so it is kingdom building. It is transformative to know that we're in a military operation. It would be considered a failure on any measure. The fact that I was able to impact people for the gospel is eternal. And it's part of my own healing to know that if at the expense of the exposure and all the combat and all the devastation and carnage that I saw, we're able to bring the gospel to 5,000 people, it's worth it. It's worth it being spent for the gospel. That's what Paul said so often, to be to give of himself, to give his life for the gospel. It's worth it because it is eternal.
Right, you're investing in something long term, and we have Kevin is in Raleigh, and he may have the remaining answer to, you know, which other character in the Old Testament, which old saint had a dream job. Kevin, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who are you thinking?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so glad you called in.
Thank you. Well, I before I give my answer, my other thought was the people who actually these saints spoke to, if they had dream jobs as well, they were the ones who got the dream.
Ah, good point. Good point. Well, can you hang on for us, Kevin, through the break? Because we got to go to a break, and I know that people would be anxious to hear about this because there's a lot of dream jobs going around.
So I'd be happy to wait.
Stay tuned. We're going to find out about that. We're going to find out more from Bob, Michaela, and Pam when we come back on Kingdom Pursuit. Stay tuned. Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are blessed to have Michaela Smith and Pam Mitchell here with Mercy Grace Missions to Central Honduras from, as we found out, Glenview Baptist Church in Kernersville. We also have Bob Uber with their event. We don't want to let you forget about that. That's coming up July the 2nd. That's a week from Monday, right, Bob?
That's a week from Monday. This Miss North Carolina show troupe with some USO type performers from New York out at the Heroes Center, which is 1500 Bridges Drive in High Point.
And that's going to start at 6 o'clock. For a lot of people, that's a holiday because that's where you're going to get off for the 4th of July, is July the 2nd. And what a fun thing to do to go to like a, you know, if you're like me and I didn't get to go to a USO event in Vietnam or in World War II and get to hear Bob Hope, you know, this is going to be fun.
This will be exciting. This will be something new for High Point.
Real comedy, you know? We have Kevin and Raleigh speaking of real comedy. No, speaking of Robbie's comedy anyway. He was just about to tell us which Old Testament saint, besides Jacob and besides Joseph, had a dream job in the Old Testament. Kevin?
So, yeah, you gave my answer.
Oh, man, it was horrible, wasn't it? After all your hard work, I went and blew it right there. Who was it? Daniel? Oh, yeah. Well, you could use his Hebrew name if you remember it.
Oh, my goodness, no. The other three Hebrew names that we remember.
Was it Belteshazzar? What, something like that. But anyway, somebody can call in and guess that one if they want. But what about Daniel gave him a dream job?
Well, he's the one four Hebrew children that were carried in captivity, and the leader had the vision from God about the head of gold, the chest of silver, I think it was, et cetera. And so he sat down and told the king what it meant. And the guy said, you know, my own, you know, magicians couldn't tell me this stuff. And yet here's, you know, this foreign kid who comes in and tells me what's going on. Let's raise him up and his three buddies up.
Which is really, it's interesting. I hadn't put this together, but you helped me do it, Kevin. You know, Bob was talking about going into a foreign country, as are Michaela and Pam. And here, certainly, Daniel was a missionary in his own way, right?
Exactly.
He didn't speak Babylonian, I don't guess. But, you know, you're going to have to learn the language. And you know, he had to eat vegetables, Bob. You know,
he had a whole new culture.
Don't eat the meat is what I hear. But Bob put out a great point, Kevin. I don't know if it's a dream job if you're going to lose your head if you don't get it right.
He had a lot on the line there, and that of all the other people that were there. But his faith is in God.
We feel that God forces us into these jobs, and in the end, he uses them as dream jobs for us.
That's exactly right. I would imagine that Daniel was way out of his comfort zone. I can't even begin to imagine, because he was about your age, Michaela, when all that was going down.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you are. Well, great answer, Kevin, in spite of the fact
that
I messed it up for you. You're still a winner, and we're going to get you a book from our prize vault. God bless you. Thank you for calling in today, Kevin.
No problem. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Oh, how fun. We had callers from Gastonia and Raleigh all over the place today, and we're so glad you're listening in. But we really are hoping you will consider making your way to High Point, North Carolina, which is, you know, in the Triad area of North Carolina, for this event coming up July the 2nd.
July the 2nd, yes. If you're not familiar with where the 1500 Bridges Drive is, it's within sight of the old Ocala Mall. In fact, our overflow parking.
You could make it Ocala View.
Make it Ocala View. You could have a view of Ocala. Yeah, I think the other thing I just wanted to point out is, this event on 2 July, it will be a phenomenal event. You all need to come out and support our military. But we're going to be there for a long term. And so different viewers and churches are saying, how can we become involved in helping our veterans transition out of the military and into the communities? And so we're looking for churches to come and volunteer, to come and help us with our events, to help us with beautification. If you have some job skill that you would want to help from the carpentry side of it or a project out there, there are 8 buildings that all need renovated. This is a blighted property. This has not been actively maintained for 20 years. As you can imagine, there is a lot of work that needs to be done. So if your church or your group would like to have an opportunity to help our student veterans as they transition from combat through the classroom and back into the community, go to heroescenter.org. Everything about what we're doing and how you can become involved, either support us with labor or friends that might be able to help us. We'd love to have you join us. You don't have to be a veteran to volunteer. But if you have a veteran in need, a brother, an uncle who's challenged by their military service, come to our website and give us a call, and we'll be glad to and have that kind of help them navigate through this difficult thing called combat trauma.
There you go. And Michaela, when do you guys leave for Honduras?
We leave August 7th. So we'll be at the church bright and early, 2:30 in the morning. Maybe it's 1:30. Early in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And we'll head to Charlotte and fly out from there.
And so do you take like commercial airplanes, or do you get like puddle jumpers to come?
No. We take regular commercial airplanes. So
And they land in where in Honduras?
Oh, they land in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, which
you
is actually
land
the capital.
Where?
Tegucigalpa.
There's an airport in Tegucigalpa?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. For being dangerous?
Yeah, for being dangerous here, Pamkin.
Tell us, how is it dangerous to land in Tegucigalpa?
I think it has the reputation of being one of the 10 most dangerous airports to land in. However, I will say that since 2004, there have been some great improvements, and it's not nearly as scary as it used to be flying in.
One more time, Tegucigalpa?
Tegucigalpa.
Galpa. Oh, there's a G. There's not a hopper.
See?
It's a galper. Wow. And what does that mean in Honduran?
I have no idea. It's the capital.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow, I need to.
Yes. And then on the northeastern side of the country, there's San Pedro Sula, which is the other major airport.
Okay. And so you fly in there, then is it a bus, or what's the next step?
Yes. We actually ride on a Thomas-built school bus.
There you go.
Right. Locally built and shipped to Honduras.
Yeah.
And we ride on that bus for about 6 hours. Again, that the road that we drive on, it's improved a whole lot since 2004, but we still experience.
Do they ride on the right or the left?
On the right and
okay.
The middle.
And the middle.
And sometimes the left. So, yeah, it's a long day after meeting at the church around 1:30 a.m. and flying in and getting into Tegucigalpa just after lunch and then making about a 6-hour bus ride. And so
where are you going, Michaela?
The first little city we're going to, well, it's the little city, it's a little village, is Gualaco, Honduras. And
Gualaco?
I'm not Gualaco.
Yeah. Gualaco.
Yes. And I'm not sure of the name that we'll be putting the water system in the village of.
Oh, you're going to put another water system in?
Yeah. We're going to put a water system in near Gualaco, a little village called La Venta.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you learned any Honduran?
Honduran? Well, I speak Spanish, so.
Oh, well, good news.
Yeah. I mean, I pick up on a lot down there as much as I can to communicate with the kids. The easy words, you know, like Yo Camino as I walk. And I pick up from the songs, too, and I don't
Did
know.
You say El Camino?
El Camino, yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that one. It's Chevy to me. So as you go there, and all of a sudden people are speaking a completely different language, it's a completely different culture. What does that feel like to be an alien?
It's weird. It's very weird. It's like, wow, you know, English isn't the main language here. I can't understand what they're saying. I don't know what they're talking about, you know, but they don't know what we're talking about either. So it's kind of, it's different.
While you're in the midst in this alien culture,
mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a moment where you just prayed and said, God, help me?
Oh, yes.
And what did he tell you?
Well, the first is actually the very first night. We hadn't even gone out and done any mission work yet. It was the first night after we got off the bus, after our 7-hour bus ride. And we got to our hotel and got out, and I saw the rooms, and we were walking around seeing stuff, and I was like, what the heck am I doing here? And I was like, I'm in a third world country. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, my mama and daddy aren't here. I don't know what I'm doing. So I definitely, like, prayed that night, and I just woke up the next day feeling relaxed and refreshed. And once we kind of got going and got in our routine and went to the church and met all the ladies and did the Bible study, and once I got comfortable with the kids, he definitely just relaxed me and calmed down. I was like, you know, you're here for a reason.
Bob, I'm very curious, and I know you were in a lot of different, very precarious situations. Was there ever one that you recall that prayer meant everything?
Oh, yeah. Prayer is transformative. Interesting, because quick story, my wife would be woken up in the middle of the night. She'd hear a dog barking, and there was no dog. And she'd hear a phone ringing, but it was not. It just woke her up. And those times, she prayed. And when we compared notes back there, those were my most dangerous moments on missions, or under attack or we're high risk. And so that's where the peace of God comes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Into prayer. And so, but that's a good shout out for them too. People at home need to provide that prayer support. They need to know that they're covered under their prayers.
Yeah, it's really cool to think that, you know, when you're in a mission, whether it's a dangerous mission or a humanitarian mission, in all cases, you know, Satan is definitely coming up against you, and it requires the prayer. So thank you for listening to Kingdom Pursuit today. We're so blessed that you spent time with us and enjoyed the riddle. I hope you enjoyed them anyway. Right now, you got so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. I hope you'll stay tuned. You got a Masculine Journey starting here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine. Thank you so much for listening to the Truth Network.